the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this study, Dave looks into the idea of roots and ruts. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 3.
Amen. Sunday morning we looked at what we call roots and ruts. I'm just going to dwell on that for a little while. From little seeds grow mighty trees. We know that. Of course, that's positive and negative, isn't it? And the seed we use is very important, and we may look at that as time goes by. Sowing the right seeds in our hearts, and again, looking at those roots, never forget the roots, the foundations that build your existence, and the secret, and they are the secret to your future, both again, positive or negative. The root is the unseen part of the plant, isn't it? In fact, it's the most important bit, because that's what drives it, that's what gives it life. It anchors, it supports, it nourishes, it absorbs, it's the organ that feeds the plant. And as we'll notice in a moment, we need our roots in the Lord, we need our roots in Him, and those other roots that we may have a little look at again tonight, we need to dig up, and we mentioned a few on Sunday morning, and to really root them out. And if we don't, what happens, they will bear fruit. Mm-hmm. And the fruit we see in our life, in our behaviour, in our habits and things, we need to get to the root. Sometimes we're the weed, sometimes we cut, you know, if you've got dandelions in your lawn, you can take them off, can't you? But you've got to dig them up. And Jackie likes to dig them up. So give them up, Jack, put a bit of salt on as well then after, isn't it? But you've got to dig them up. Otherwise, you can take the top off, but they'll come back again. And so you've got to get down and in the roots. And of course, we first and foremost need to get our roots. And Jesus talked to that. Listen to what he said about the most important parable. And he told us what the most important parable was. Mark 4. You'll find it in all the Gospels. Well, Mark, Luke. Mark 4:13, sorry.
And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, for the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100."
What Jesus says, this is very important. He said, if you don't understand this, well, you won't understand anything. Because it isn't just, you know, we've sometimes limited it to people getting saved or hearing the word. But no, it's for us as well who hear the word. Because you know what? We can hear the word and still not receive the word because the soil isn't right in our life. The first one, of course, is just careless hearing. Hard-hearted, I suppose. But the word there, if you look at Matthew, Mark and Luke and different gospel writers, add little different things. Now Luke throws in there, the word was trampled on. So which meant it didn't enter, it was carelessly hearing. You may hear something, you can hear something from the pulpit and think, it doesn't affect me, that doesn't actually apply to me. We can be carelessly, and of course the devil will come and he'll take that away very quickly. Second one, which is where we find the emotional hearer. And we can be emotional. How many times have we heard a word and stirred us, or the Lord's been in the meeting, we've promised him the earth sometimes, haven't we? Lord, I'll do it. I've been in church all my life, and people have stood up and said, I promised the Lord that I'll do anything for the Lord. Yeah, you sure? And something has come along, and we don't even see him in church anymore. And that, because that's an emotion. Now, nothing wrong with emotion, is there? But if emotion is that's all it is, there's no root, he says. There's no root. And of course, when difficulties or the sun comes up, What happens to the plant? Moisture evaporates and it withers. And it's scorched. Why? Because the very important bit where the word has gone into the heart, and it's not just an emotional response, and they've quickly gone. And he says very clearly, there is no root. So, again, we've got to be careful that when we preach the gospel, yes, of course there's an emotional response because we feel guilty and there's conviction. But if there's no will there and there's no real deep repentance, we know it. And of course the Bible reveals it. Why? Because God wants us to know that we have the real thing. He doesn't want us to play around, does he? Or pretend that we are. Oh yeah, I believe. Well, let's see what it really is making any effect. And of course, the next one is the distracted hearer. And again, we can say we've been here many, many times. Thorns, worries of this life. Well, we have many, the cares and distractions. Deceitfulness of wealth. Yeah, that grabs them. We'll see that's a big root later on. Desire for other things. Luke puts this one in. It's very interesting. They go their own way. We still want our own way. And you see, when we want our own way, that chokes the very life of Christ, the very word of the Lord. It will choke it. It will distract us because instead of going God's way, which is sometimes, generally mostly against our old way, we've got to choose his way. And sometimes, I was just listening to a chap and I thought, yeah, that's so true. And he said, he's American, and he was saying, well, if you would ask me, who do I love the most? The Lord or the Dallas Cowboys? Dallas Cowboys is American football. He said, I would say the Lord, of course. He said, of course. He said, but you know, one day I was watching the Dallas Cowboys, he said, into the, I don't know, they have four quarters now. I can't remember when I used to watch it. And he said, it was getting into the last quarter, and the Lord just prompted me. It felt a burden to go and pray. Mm-hmm. And he said, Lord, after the match. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just kept there. I want you, go and pray now. And he said, Lord, I'll pray hours after the match. Let me finish the match. And he did finish the match. But he said when he went into his study, he said the burden had gone. Burden had gone. And you know, the Lord just revealed to him there. Although, of course, he loves the Lord. But he said sometimes things can distract us. Nothing wrong with American football, Lord or not, but if you like that kind of thing. But remember, when the Lord puts his hand upon us and easily distracted, want our own description. Of course, we can justify it and say, oh yeah, I can do it later. But when the Lord calls, isn't it? Of course, the good soil. And that's our job. We, the word is the word. The fruit produces from the word, but the soil is up to us to keep it clean, to get rid of the rocks, to get rid of those roots and those weeds and those thorns. And we'll see in a minute how we can do that. The word is obviously the thing that digs up into our lives. So there's our first protocol. How we listen. Do we really allow the word to have its effect? Now, just care and... because when God sees that we reject God's word, when there is no root, he is very severe. As we see with the Pharisees. But read these verses from Jude, right, the last one book, 11 to 13.
Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
Very, very powerful when the Lord sees there. There's no fruit because there is no root. And he said they've been uprooted because there was no real root there. Everything was external, nothing internal. But what happens eventually, their fruit, the Bible says, by their fruits you will recognize them. It'll always be exposed in the end. Sometimes it's a long time, isn't it? And we've seen people who've been in ministry for years. And then something crops up. sometimes as many years previously. And again, why? Because they'd never dealt with it. They never really rooted it out. And of course, it'll come back unless it's really repented of and sorted out. And the Lord is doing that in the last days. And we see, certainly in America, many, many big ministries, people who have not dealt with the issue, not dealt with the root of the problem. And of course, then it will come. It will come. There's no repentance. So, but the Bible is very clear, isn't it? They were. It was everything was external. But of course, the fruit was Balaam, greed, wasn't it? Korah, ambition, and Cain, anger. Those areas of in our lives that come. Let's look at that just again. Another verse that what the Lord put. This is Jesus talking. Matthew 15, 12 to 14.
Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch."
Unless I plant it, it will be uprooted. So we've got to make sure that the word and our salvation is from the Lord. It's not superficial. It's not emotional. It's not something we say, "Oh yeah, I accept that." God has done a real deep work in us, and He's planted His word in us. Because if not, He says there, it will be uprooted, and we know that, and that's very clear. That's why He said, "Stay in the vine, be in the vine." Otherwise, there will be no fruit. We just read Ephesians 3. What does He say? Pray that, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Here it is. That's where it starts. By faith, Christ comes in, and so you've been rooted and established in His love and the power to understand this great love. So we are rooted in Him, planted in Him. Colossians 2, 6 and 7.
"So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness."
Again, received. Look, right now there's a continuous, there's a walking with Him, there's a continuous, rooted, built, established in faith as you were taught. And of course, that comes again, thankfulness comes out of that and through that. So we receive it, then we are rooted and built in Him. And of course, Jesus said, unless your foundation is in Him, on Him, obedient. Of course, it isn't just receiving the word, is it? It's obeying the word. It's putting the word into action. And sometimes that's, we need to do that deliberately, by disciplining ourselves, and that's we have to do that. Romans 11, 16 to 18.
"For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches are broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you."
Again, we are part, of course, he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, being rooted in the Lord, and we have been grafted in. We're not to boast over anything, because we've been grafted in because of their disobedience, the temporal disobedience. But he says, look, if the root is holy, we are holy. See, that again effect shows us the evidence is in our lives, where we are rooted, who we are rooted into. If we are rooted in Him, holiness, and support, the root supports us. And again, that can be shown, thankfully. The Bible says we can examine our hearts and lives, and we can see our fruitfulness shows our where our roots are. And if there are issues, and again, we'll cover those in a minute, if things in our lives that are not right, and we can see they're persistent, or the way we react, the way we speak, or there's a root there. There's a root there that's sometimes deep that we need to really dig in. Now, be careful. Be careful, because although we are rooted in Him, the Bible says be careful, because that root can dry up. Hosea 9 says, be careful, their root is dried up. Why? Because they had gone away from the Lord. They'd looked to idols. Of course, Hosea, we know what Hosea is about. They'd gone after other idols. They'd gone after other gods. He said, if you turn away, that root will dry up. That's why he said, stay in the vine. Stay in the vine. How about these verses? Isaiah 5, 20-24.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots will decay, and their flowers blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty, and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel.
Oh, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Their roots will decay. Why will their roots decay? Because they have rejected, they have refused the law of the Lord of hosts, and they have spurned, they have scorned the word of the Holy One of Israel. And that's a real powerful. Again, this is talking to the people of Israel, isn't it? Not ungodly people. And when you just read that there, they turned black to white, good to bad, bad to good. They turned everything upside down. And we see it, sadly, we see it in the church, don't we? That which is absolutely, we know is wrong, they said it's good. And that which is right and upright, they say, well, that's not really the best way. Amazing. And they're wise in their own eyes. And when you talk to them and try and debate with them, there's a blankness. Why? Because they're wise in this. That's where pride rises up. And pride, what a root pride is. It's there all the time, isn't it? We've got to really dig that out day by day by day. And that probably, that's a heaven where that'll be totally gone. But that's the root of it. And he said, be careful, your roots will rot and melt away, become putrid. Why? Because you will not listen. You will not heed the word of the Lord. Very powerful verses, those. Let's have a look at the 1 Corinthians 10. A little bit of a long reading, but a very important reading.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that over our fathers were under the flood, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But without most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to be intent, and we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and ate and drank, and rose up to play. Chris?
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Just throw this in because, again, expose roots and ruts, because these are these five things that stop them going into Israel. He's very clear there, isn't he? From whom the ends of the age have fallen. So these five things are as relevant today as they were ever, relevant today as they ever were. And he said these are given for examples, blows, strike, an impression, something that makes a mark. He said, now you listen now, he said, these five things, and when we'll read them in a minute, we'll see they are there today in us, with us, around us, in the church. And they are for admonition. Admonition means to put into your mind and don't forget. Put it into your mind. What's the first one? Lust after evil, self-preoccupation, satisfying me, the flesh, all about me, getting, not giving. Well, that's us, isn't it? And they came out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them, was it? That first generation, Egypt was not out of them. Idolatry, well, putting someone or something before God. And again, that's, of course, when we think of idolatry, Old Testament, it's idols they made. But in the New Testament, an idol is something, an idea that takes over, an idea that runs your life. And of course, that can be anything or anybody, that flows on. Here's the third one, immorality. Well, that, dear me, when you think back, you can turn the telly on tonight, and what is normal TV now would have been class pornography 20, 30 years ago, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Dear me. I can go back when... I never would. I wouldn't have it on in our house. The Carry On films, wouldn't it? And that was, that today kids would think, what? Absolute nonsense, isn't it? But in our day, in those days, that was really, taboo and risky. Now it means that's nothing, is it? And that's an immorality, and of course that feeds into the church. Sadly, we have people, even in the church, living in sin, cohabiting. Let's call it living in sin, that's what it is. I still come to church, and you're thinking, what Bible are they reading? And of course we can go further on into goodness as well with the Archbishop, because we mentioned it before. And so that's where we are. Fornication, immorality, but be careful. Be careful, because it can grip anyone. Isn't it amazing? Just be careful. The Bible says, as he finishes now, be careful you don't fall yourself. Tempting Christ, testing him. Lord, and goes along with the number five, murmuring, challenging God with our unbelief, and challenging his character, negative confession, saying, God, what are you actually doing? And that is undermining his character. Now, there's things we don't understand, we don't know. And so we say, Lord, I'm in your hands. I don't understand this, but I know you know best. And we put our hands. So those five things, they are roots that stop the Israel going into the promised land. And he says, now be aware of those, because they falling on us to the end of the age. So very important. And of course, we looked at that murmuring before. Do everything without murmuring or complaining. How have we done this week? Oh, bless the Lord. That's a great challenge sometimes, isn't it? So those roots of things. Now, this is another that the Bible calls a root, which again, Western society, Western world, when we pray for the persecuted church and those in Muslim countries or Eastern European, sometimes we've prayed, I think we prayed wrong, haven't we? We prayed to get rid of persecution or to get rid of poverty in a sense. And I remember Mike saying when Romania was under Ceausescu there, people were in church, they loved the Lord, they didn't have anything really, and they were persecuted, but the love for the Lord, the zeal for the house, zeal for him was mighty. Now, he said, people, it's religion, it's church, people go to church because that's probably socially worth it, but of course a lot of the youngsters are coming to our country because they can earn good money. And of course, what's happened, instead of being caught up with the Lord, Western society, they caught up with the West and the glitz and the glamour and the materialism and all those kind of things. This is what the Lord says about that. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 12.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, having discerned we can carry nothing out.
Absolutely true.
But having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, leave these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Pretty clear, isn't it? I love it where he starts. Look, you brought nothing, you'll take nothing. We've said many times, there's no removal, van behind the hearse, is there? All be left behind. But he's very clear, the love of money, not money. Remember, we've seen great men and women of God who were very wealthy, but their wealth didn't have them, because they give it away. Mighty men. And we looked at Cadbury and Rowntree and all those guys before. Mighty men of God who gave. Because they earned, they gave it away. But the love of money is the root of all. That's an interesting, of all the evils. That's it. And it doesn't matter when we think of today. But even then, remember Judas. Judas walked with Christ. But he never dealt with the root of greed. And Jesus gave him the opportunity because the Bible says he was a thief. And Jesus knew that, of course. But they said, right, we need a treasurer, boys. Need a treasurer. And Jesus said, Judas, you can be treasurer. And I'm sure Matthew knew, because Matthew was an accountant. He was a tax collector. So I'm sure he knew that Judas was on the take. And he looked around, he thought, surely I'm the best. He would have been the best candidate for treasurer, wouldn't he? Matthew, tax collector, good with numbers, good with... No, Jesus was testing him, giving him an opportunity, and he never, ever dealt with that root greed. No, he walked with Christ. Fancy that, walking with Christ, yet is that root of greed was overpowered his relationship with Christ, with his ministry with Christ. Power, let me just say, if it's not rooted out, it's powerful. And we have seen many, many, many. And he says there, even in those days, many have wandered from the faith. They've erred from the faith and pierced themselves. And we talked before, that means being put on a spit. To be put on a spit, going round and round and roasted by their desires and themselves and pierced themselves with many griefs and consuming pains. Because the older you get, the more you realise. And I've given you that story before when Billy Graham was on that, he was on holidays on that island, wasn't he? And the richest man on the island, 75, called him up and he said, I'm empty, he said. He said, I've got a boat down there, got a helicopter there. He said, but I'm empty. 75 years of age. I'd lived his life and I'd amassed all these things. We think, oh, wonderful. Helicopter, boat, all the things, and a house on a Caribbean island, on one of these islands. But he was empty, absolutely empty. And he said, another chap on the island, minister, again, about the same age, 75, didn't have a home, had to live with somebody, and he was just beaming with the joy of the Lord. He said, which would you want? All those things, but emptiness, pierced with many griefs, or the joy of the Lord, and nothing in this world. Doesn't matter, does it? Because you can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. But the love of money is the root of all evils. Now be careful. We've all got prone, because the Western world, our world, is prone, is precious for materialism. Of course, we've looked at material hedonism and pride of life, egotism, but certainly materialism. And it grips us. We've got to be careful. And that's why sometimes it's good to give money away. When it grabs all of us, oh Lord, give it away. Give something away. It uproots that bit of greed we have sometimes. And not a fiver sometimes. Give it sometimes when it's really painful. Not painful, but you're going to say, ooh, Lord, how much? How much? Did I hear you right? Yes. Because it's rooting out that which will overflow us. How about this one? This is back in Deuteronomy. Remember Deuteronomy? Moses is old man, second reading of the law, and he's trying to remind them, be careful, I can see what's going to happen to Israel. He could see into the future, they were going to wander from the Lord, and the love for him was going to be weak and faint, because what happens, he said, when you have too much, you forget the Lord. He said, I know your heart, because it's proneness, and this is him speaking, Deuteronomy 29, 16 to 18.
You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt, and how we passed through the countries on the way here. You saw among them their detestable images and idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison.
Very interesting, isn't it? He said, look, you've seen. Isn't it amazing how we've seen? We can see what the world is. We can see the emptiness the world brings. We can see the destruction in before our eyes. Yet we are still lured so often towards that, aren't we? We've seen people who've wrecked their lives with money or immorality. Yet we are prone still. Instead of seeing clearly, he said, now you've seen that. Now he says, make sure. There's an accountability here. That's why fellowship is so important. Watching out for each other. Make sure there's no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away to the gods of these nations. And here's the fruit, but also the root. Make sure there's no root among you that produces such bitter poison, gall and wormwood. It means venom, and the one word there is hemlock. It was the old poison, wasn't it? I think Socrates, he went with hemlock. And it's a poison. It's a plant as well, isn't it? They say even today there's no real cure. They just treat the symptoms, which they can. But no real cure. But it kills. Idolatry, turning away, putting anything else before the Lord will kill. And sadly, it spreads. It spreads. People see, and people... I see on the Facebook in Oakdale, Spiritualist Church, advertise every week, come and listen to so-and-so, and a medium this, a medium that. And of course, again, God's very clear about those things. Number one, you're in touch not with the dead, but the demons, that's who you get in touch with. And of course, it lures. And let me just say, some people are grieving, and they're susceptible. Of course they are. And when people say, oh, I can talk to your husband or your wife or Uncle George, they are lured, mm-hmm. lured. And that spreads like poison, and it will, of course, ultimately destroy. So he says, be careful that for every one of us not to be easily distracted from the Lord. Easily distracted from the Lord. Make sure of that. Now he picks it up, the writer of the Hebrews, slightly different, but he's picking up the same idea in Hebrews 12.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Again, an accountability, a watching, see to it that now no one comes short, is deficient, is inferior. What is the key here now? We said on Sunday, missing the grace of God, not fully understanding the grace of God. See, when we understand the grace of God, it keeps us tender, it keeps us holy, it keeps us pure, it keeps us forgiving others. Why? Because we don't deserve anything from God, but God's given it to us. So if God has given it to us, we can extend it to those around. And in fact, the Bible says, please do, because otherwise a bitter root will spring up, cause trouble, will overcrowd you and defile many. And of course, we've seen church split after church split. What does it come from? really a root of bitterness. Someone who hasn't forgiven. And so what happens, if you haven't forgiven, it will spread. It will spread. And gossip and untruths or half-truths or even truths. But remember we said, it could be true, but it doesn't mean it's right. Isn't it? I know lots of things about Jackie. All true. I could spend a night here and defame her or tell the truth about her. But that wouldn't be right, would it? Wouldn't be right. But it would be true. And of course, I said before, it was David Portsmouth, but also, what's his name? I forgot his name. Wesley Whitfield. Whitfield, and they said, many say things about me. And he said, but I know a lot worse. And the Lord said to David Portsmouth, hey, good job they don't know the truth then, David, isn't it? And that's true, isn't it? If good job they don't know the truth about the deep, dark secrets of our hearts. But ultimately, be careful. See to it, understand the grace of God, no bitter root. And that really drops, feeds down. We looked at this one on Sunday, and this is an interesting one, which really takes the same principle, because unforgiveness, I think probably, we looked at stubbornness, unforgiveness, and before the other day, didn't we? I think unforgiveness probably is one of the greatest ones that grip every one of us, because every one of us has been hurt, everyone has been offended. Luke 17, 1 to 6.
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that the offences will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he was cast into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if any brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up of the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it shall obey you.
Well, yes, I'd say increase my faith as well, Lord. I can forgive once. In one day, seven times, they're not learning their lesson, are they? And the Lord says to you, perhaps you up to either day, that's true. Watch for sin, watch for the stumbling block, watch for the traps, watch for the bait that triggers the trap. And that's interesting, the devil always puts some lovely bait in front of us, didn't he? He did with Jesus, so he'll do with us. He knew where to hit Jesus, he knew he was hungry, he knew what his purpose was, he knew why he came, and he tempted him in those particular specific areas. He knows our weaknesses, don't worry about that. That's why we need to stay with the Lord, close to the Lord, forgiving. Give us faith, Lord, we need faith for this. And then we talked about this, you'll only find in the AV, I think, the sycamine tree. Not the mulberry tree. It looks like a mulberry, probably the same genus, but its fruit is bitter. Mulberry tree's fruit is sweet. And the sycamine tree is known for its deep roots. One of the trees that has the deepest and most extensive roots. And that's interesting because unforgiveness, bitterness goes deep and goes far and needs really good uprooting. And sometimes takes many years. And takes much confession, much time with the Lord. And even when we think it's gone, there's a little spur somewhere there that someone will stir up. And we think, wow. And that's why it's the necessary to be in the presence of the Lord, applying the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord divides between flesh, between soul and spirit. It really does. And Hosea says something interesting. He said, it's time to plough up the fallow ground. Break up that fallow ground, he says. It is time how to seek the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, God exposes our hearts, exposes those roots, and he roots them out. He roots them out. He does that. And that's why to be in his presence, to be in his word, is the most vital thing, because it uproots those things that should not be there. And brings in the things that should be there. Let's read those last verses where faith, our declaration and prayer all come together, which we all need to really speak to those things in our lives sometimes as well. And we need to speak to ourselves. Nothing wrong with speaking to yourself, is it? Especially if you live on your own, you carry on. You speak to yourself all day, no one's going to come. And if you live with people, be careful, isn't it? And they'll be asking people to come round to take you away. Speak to yourself. Bless the Lord. Psalmist spoke to himself, didn't he? I will praise the Lord. I will. Speak yourself, Lord. Mark 11, 12 to 14, and then 20 to 25.
As Jesus came to the fig tree, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was angry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went down to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for the figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. And in the morning, as they went along and saw the fig tree withered from the roots, Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their hearts, but believes that whatever they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on there, isn't it? But those areas, he said, now time to speak to them. Those unfruitful areas, those areas that should not be there, by faith, take hold of God's word and says, Lord, that should not be there. Now you need to remove it, but by faith I speak to it. Speak to it. And that's why prayer comes in. We're in his presence. If it's unforgiveness, we begin to pray for that person. Oh, I tell you what, that changes everything, because we begin to pray and we begin to see them differently and we begin to pray God's blessing on them. And that changes everything. But he says, be careful when you're praying, if there's anything there. And that's why when we do get into prayer, God just does expose those areas. If you have anything against, forgive them. Let it go. Be in the presence. So the presence of the Lord, the word of the Lord, are our weapons to get us rooted in him, get our roots right. Again, we need to work the soil in our life, get rid of the stones, get rid of the weeds, get rid of the thorns. Why? Because when we do, we can receive the word. And as I said so many times before, we can receive, we can hear the word preached, and we think, well, I don't know if that's for me. But maybe, let me just say now, God sometimes prepares us, because what we hear today could be for us next week, or next month, or next year. And God's always prepared, so we receive it. It's in us for the time when we need it. So let's be ruthless in our life. Let's be accountable to one another, so we have no root, no bitter root, no roots that would cause us to wander and stray. Help us, Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.